Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater calling from Wilsonville, Oregon. Today is Wednesday, February 13th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in Bill's story on page 8. We're going to be unpacking paragraph 2 today, and that starts with trembling. I step from the hospital, a broken man, and ends with incredibly more wonderful as time passes. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Marissa E., the 12 Traditions, C.J. H., and reading the text and support today is Liat T.D., Robin P., and Liz T. Hopefully we'll hear from her. The reference number, the share ID numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12536. That's 12,536 for Tuesday, February 12, 2019, 10 a.m. meeting. And then this morning, we had a meeting already, session today. We have a share ID number for you for that. And that is 12539, 12,539. And that's for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting for today, Wednesday, February 13, 2019. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, quote unquote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Marissa E. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service. I pass.
Thank you, Marissa E. I will now ask C.J. H. to read the 12 traditions.
Hi, this is C.J. H. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you, CJH. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, oops, I said that one, didn't I? How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share. But we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And the way to do that is to press star 1 on your phone keypad so it's disconnected from the phone interference rather than just pressing the mute on your phone. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Phil's Story. We're on page 8. Paragraph 2, trembling, I step from the hospital, a broken man, and ends with more wonderful as time passes. And I will ask Liat TD to read that paragraph and unpack it for us with her experience today, and then we'll open up for other shares. Good morning, Liat. Press star 1. Liat, are you there? Star 1, please.
Hi, Melanie. Can you hear me?
I can. There you are.
Oh, good morning. Hi. Good. Good morning, everybody. Liat D., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. No words can tell of the loneliness and despair I found in that bitter morass of self-pity. Sorry. Wrong. Trembling, I stepped from the hospital a broken man. Fear sobered me for a bit. Then came the insidious insanity of that first drink, and on Armistice Day, 1934, I was off again. Everyone became resigned to the certainty that I would have to be shut down somewhere, or would stumble along to a miserable end. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that was the beginning of my first last debacle. I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredibly more wonderful as time passes. And I'll put my timer so I don't overshoot. Wow, I just love Bill's story. I and I relate to it so much. You know, I was thinking about, you know, we hear the story, it starts with 1918, the First World War, where he kind of discovers alcohol and he starts playing around, fooling around with it. And he sees how he's powerless and the progression of the disease. And we're in 1934 now. This is, 16 years later. And he's licked. You know, it's no longer the money making. I mean, everything is gone. He lost everything in his life. You know, at some point, he, you know, is a big shot. Now he is just lost, and death is, you know, he sees that he's going to, it's not if he'll drink, but when he'll drink. It's not if he'll die, but when he'll die. And that's, you know, that's such a difficult place to be. It's so, there's no power there, right? You know, it seems like the idea that he could manage and control his drinking was smashed. And what is he going to do? I mean, if it's going to, you know, and so that was my experience also. You know, I came, you know, I look at my career with food since I'm 3, because that's the earliest I remember myself eating compulsively and not being able to stop. And then I got sober when I was 30, almost 19 years ago. And at the end, it was not if I'm going to drink, to eat. It was when I'm going to do, and when is it going to happen? And just feeling, although Bill didn't have the solution, spiritual solution, he knew that, you know, the doctor previously told him that he has an allergic reaction to alcohol, but he didn't have the spiritual solution. So he was lost, but I had the spiritual solution. OA was there for me. I just didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. I heard abstinence. I didn't hear spiritual solution. Maybe it was there, but my mind was blocked. I was sure that there was something that I need to do to change this. And I just don't know. And so anyways, when, you know, that place of, I'm never going to be able to solve it, is the greatest place that I've had in my life. It's that I gave up. It's a place of surrender. And from there, I was able to, you know, God removed the obsession from me. And what it says here, you know, and I'm going to finish up, is that today, looking behind, you know, I know happiness, peace, and usefulness that I would not even imagine could be possible. So anyways, I love this program. I'm so grateful for it. And I can't wait to hear from you. Thank you.
Thank you, Liat TD, for opening up this sharing today. We are on page 8 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, paragraph 2. It's now open for folks to comment on that paragraph. I'd like to have your name.
Mary B.
And there shall be last name, please.
Mary B.
Florida. Did I hear Mary
B?
And I hear Pia S.
Bruce in Florida.
Lisa J.R.
Hi, Bruce. I see. And Lisa J.R.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Martha Z.
And Martha Z. Let's go with that. Thanks so much. So I have Pia S., Mary D., Bruce E., Lisa J.R., Kathleen O., and Martha Z. If everybody else can please press *1 on the phone keypad, that will keep the line nice and quiet for us. And I am ready for you, Pia S. Nice to hear you. *1, Pia S.
Now I'm here.
There you
I'm
are. Hello.
Yes.
I'm so glad you are.
I'm talking. Yeah, thank you, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is PS, Recovered Compulsive Overeater in Florida. And I wasn't sure if I was going to share today. And I asked God to give me, you know, that little push. And it came. It came. Because it is 6 years to the day that I was catapulted to this country. God decided, you know, Pia, you're not going to live in Norway anymore. I'm going to give you the darkest day. And he did give me the darkest day of my life. And the darkest day in Norway is winter solstice. It's when the sun turns and the days become longer. And I woke up in the middle of the night and my house was on fire. And it was horrible. And I didn't understand what was happening and why this would happen to me. But then, you know, now I know. Like someone shares in the first meeting today that I was pulled back like a catapult. I was pulled down so I could get traction. And then God decided, you're going to go to the United States. You're going to move from Norway. You're going to move from this small country up north. And you're going to go to this big country and you're going to get recovered. And you're going to share your story. And you're going to just let it. Like by your example, you're going to help others. And I'm so grateful for that. I just wanted to share that this morning. And I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful. And thank you so much, Melanie. I really appreciate you being there. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Pia S. Mary B., you're up, and then Bruce E. will come in after you. Mary B. or Mary D., which one? I'm not sure.
Can you hear me, Melanie?
I sure can now. Hello there.
Well, thanks for your service. Yeah, great meeting as usual. it's amazing how in this one paragraph, how we go from hell to heaven in just a few sentences. The beginning of my last debauch, I thought every time I went for the binge that was going to be the last debauch. I swore it was going to be the last one as I'm going in, but as soon as the binge food was gone, I'm out the door getting some more binge food. And I, too, like the previous speaker said, I had to be moved from Chicago, Illinois to Phoenix, Arizona for my life to change, for me to get recovery, for the turnaround in my life. Took a while because of my stubbornness. But I'm here today to tell you, I live in the fourth dimension of existence. I know that my higher power has it for me today. He's the one that keeps me abstinent. He's the one that keeps my mind clear and clean. If I turn to him, if I choose to, when I come up to something during the day. And I want to tell you, girls and boys, it's amazing. Being a sponsor is the most amazing job I think I've ever had. Call it a job if you want. You know, but how I see other lives changed just like my own. I see the transformation in other people's lives. I get to be a part of it. You get to be a part of it because I'm on the line every morning. I'm listening to every word you people say. I need you in my life, and I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you. End of the month, I'll have 21 months of back-to-back abstinence after 34 years of chronic relapse. I am so grateful for a vision for you. Thanks, Mel. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary B. Bruce E., you're up, and Lisa J.R. is on deck.
Thanks, Mel. Bruce E., recovering in Southwest Florida. Same deal as me. I had to leave Chicago area and move down to Florida. This is where I got sober and abstinent. And so I needed that. I needed that change when the student is ready. The teacher appears trembling. I step from the hospital a broken man. Now he's really, I thought he had hit some bottoms before. Now this is very close here. Not quite the bottom. Fear sobered me up a bit. I've had fear I can't do that. I can't eat like that anymore. I'm in so much trouble. I can't eat like that. And it kept me abstinent for a short time, not long, because the allergy was there and this phenomenal craving. Then came the insidious insanity of the first drink, the insanity of the first bite. He was off again, so now he's hitting another bottom. And I don't know, I didn't hit one particular bottom. I just hit an accumulation of bottoms till finally it was like, man, it's got to be. You know, I think God was there waiting for me, and just came in at the right time. So he's gonna then he goes on to say here, how dark it is before the dawn. So yeah, it's really dark before the change. So I went down to Dominican Republic a week ago, and got into some, quit working a program for a few days, and then I ended up getting into some alcoholic foods, and bang, I had a binge down there a week ago Wednesday night. I know what I did wrong. I've come back in. I'm abstinent now for a week. I'm back working a program. I feel great, though. I just really do. How dark it is before the dawn. In reality, that's the beginning. It was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. Now, I don't know what that fourth dimension is. I think I'm in some of it right now. And I'm loving it, you know. I mean, it's just great. So what is this fourth dimension? Well, it's a higher level than food addiction or than being in the food, that's for sure. So I'm wallowing around in the food. I'm sloppy in the food. I'm doing this. I'm overeating. The phenomena of craving is there.
You get sloppy ones.
Bang, I'm ready for that fourth dimension. And bang, that's what how dark before the dawn. And now it's the dawn for me. I really appreciate it. I'm doing well today, and I'm grateful for this call. And I pass. Now I pass.
Thank you so much, Bruce E. Lisa J.R., you're up, and Kathleen O's after you.
I was before Kathleen, actually.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Melanie, for your service and everybody who's on the line. You know, this is the agony and the ecstasy reading for me, the how dark it is before the dawn. You know, I can remember clearly what that was like. But the amazing thing happened, you know. When I came in, it was all about me. It was all about the weight I wanted to lose, the pain that I was feeling, and the terror and bewilderment of what I was going through in this disease. So my first was truly putting the plug in the jug because, you know, and then things started to clear up during the transformational process of recovery. And
I'm here all day.
You know, we begin to transform and change deeply. And so again, you know, I went from the I and the illness to the we and the wellness. You know, it became a we program for sure, which was where the magic began to happen. You know, I started to have a kinder heart. My perception of others started to change. The blinders began to come off of the selfishness, and I started to accept people. And I learned how to love people. Because my love before was conditional, now it's unconditional. I began to have self-respect, and I began to surrender, really know what surrendering to the God that I loved so much really was. You know, as was shared before, my bottom had trap doors on it, and I know if I go back into the food, into that solution, that, you know, I'm going to have another trapdoor. I know there's a lower bottom, but I don't have to use the food anymore. Captain Cupcake or, you know, King Cupcake is not my boss anymore. I, you know, have God. I walk in the garden with God instead of those 911 prayers of, you know, help me, you know, how can I be of help? Now my prayer life has shifted. And now I get to walk in the garden with my God all day long. I have integrity now. I can be of service to others. And I can't be of maximum service to anyone when I'm in the illness because it's all I. And when I'm in the wellness, it's all we. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for your service.
Thank you so much, Lisa J.R. Kathleen O., you're up. And then Martha Z., you're on deck.
Hey, Melanie. Good morning. It's Kathleen O. recovered in California. How dark it is before the dawn. And, you know, Bill's telling us how dark it was. He was hopeless. He was desperate. He tells us all these stories of being doomed, being powerless. But, you know, that kind of information isn't transformation. And luckily, like him, I got to the point where the pain of living with it was greater than the pain of living without it. And, you know, being catapulted into this fourth dimension, life does become happy and peaceful. And, you know, it ebbs and flows. There are good times and there are bad times. And when my spiritual consciousness comes first, instead of going into this downward spiral when life throws me a curveball or gets challenging, I'm able to replace that stinking thinking of, you know, I'm not good enough. I may as well go on a good old binge or go on a bender, as Bill used to do. So rather than struggle when things get challenging, you know, I can meditate and I can reconnect with my higher power. I can accept what I cannot change. I can accept life on life's terms. And if needed, I do a 10th step instead of going to the food. So even though life isn't perfect, I do know that gift of happiness, peace, and usefulness. And it truly is a gift from God. And I know I can return it at any time. You know, God will take back a gift just like any store will. And if I return it, it's going to be taken back. But I don't want to return it. I have a choice today to work the steps and stay connected to you and to my higher power and to keep this gift. And being rocketed into the fourth dimension is having this gift of happiness and peace. My mental, my physical, and my emotional states are all in sync. And most of the time, I'm not even aware of this because that it's become the new normal. And that is truly a gift. So, you know, the directions on awakening, I ask God to divorce me from self-pity. And being human, I can go into self-pity. But the good news is I don't stay there long because of the gifts of this program. Instead of wallowing in it, I go to God in gratitude for all the amazing things in my life. And I reach out and help others. So suddenly whatever was causing this self-pity disappears. And, you know, we're told in the big book that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. And this is what all being rocketed into that fourth dimension feels like. You know, I can feel at peace with accepting that which I can't change, because God's doing for me what I can't do for myself. And I realize today that God is totally in charge of my life. I'm not. And I'm going to be safe and protected as long as I stay in the sunshine of the Spirit. And thank you, Melanie. I pass.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. Oh, Martha Z, you're going to be up next, but wanted to let folks know after Martha, we'll open it up for additional sharing. And wanted to let you know that we are in Bill's story. Page 8, paragraph 2, starting with trembling, I stepped from the hospital broken man. Martha Z, you're up. Good morning to you.
Oh, thank you, Melanie. Good morning, my friends in recovery. This is Martha Z. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God from outside of Philadelphia. So the paragraph that we read yesterday was Bill's step one. He says, alcohol was my master. And food was my master. I could not do what I wanted to do. I couldn't stop doing what I didn't want to do. I was in complete bondage to it. And the paragraph that we read today, I could have written that paragraph, but I wouldn't have been able to write it as well as Bill did. But he talks about how dark it is before the dawn and about being catapulted into the fourth dimension and knowing happiness, peace, and usefulness. And my bottom looked like one Saturday morning in February. It was my habit that I would go food shopping real early in the morning because I had two little girls. So they were still sleeping. My husband, they were all still sleeping. And I came back and I broke one of my rules, which was you never go back to bed. So I'm in bed and I don't know, they're all, my husband and my two little girls are in bed with me and I am sobbing. The tears are streaming down my face. And my four-year-old's wiping the tears from my face, and she's saying, Mommy's sad. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, oh, dear God, look what's happening. This has to stop. This is horrible. So they leave, and I get on my knees. And the day before, I had called a treatment center. That was a Friday, so it was Saturday. I did not expect to hear from them till Monday. And I got down on my knees, and I said, God, you know, please, please, please help me to get the help I need. It does not have to be this treatment center, but please help me to get the help I need. And if I get a little time together and I think I don't need it, please help me to go anyway. So the phone rings and the treatment center, and they say, can you come on February 15th? And so February 15th dawns. It is pouring rain. The sky is as black as night. And it was, you know, it was how dark it is before the dawn. Like, I had no idea that everything was going to change in my life, you know, and I was going to be catapulted into the fourth dimension, which I think is the spiritual dimension. And so I go, and I go, I was willing to do whatever they told me. If they told me to stand on my head for 6 hours, I would have done it. And I got up every morning, and I left my husband and my daughters in God's hands, and I prayed for the willingness to do whatever I needed to do to recover that day. And I was there for 6 weeks, and I got the help I needed. So on February 15th, and actually in 2 days, by the grace of God, it will be 30 years since I went to treatment. And I have been living in recovery since then, and I am beyond words grateful. I'm especially grateful to God. I'm grateful to OA, and I'm also so grateful for Vision, for you and for all of you. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Martha Z. The lines are open now for additional people to comment on paragraph 2, page 8 in the big book. Who would like to comment their experience, strength, and hope?
Marissa E.
Hi, Marissa.
Mag C.
Sherry KB. And
Freya
Mags.
H.
Hi, Mags.
Hi.
Freya
Tiffany
H. Did I hear Tiffany?
Robin P.
Yes,
did
Tiffany,
I hear Tiffany? I did hear Tiffany and then Robin. That's going to take us out, I think, depending on what happens here. So thanks so much, ladies and gentlemen. If everyone else besides Marissa E. would press star 1 on their phone keypad to disconnect you from interference, that would be helpful. And after Marissa, we'll come Sherry KB. Hey, Marissa.
Hey, Mal. Thank you so much. Good morning, my fellows. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. So fear sobered me for a bit, right? For a bit. And we see on the previous page how self-knowledge sobered Bill for a bit. So fear, right? We're going to try fear. We're going to try self-knowledge. But big picture, those do not and will not keep him sober, and those will not and did not keep me entirely abstinent. You know, I'm just reading this and thinking I cannot treat my sick mind with my sick mind. And it also made me think on page 23, right? I am, you know, using fear. That's like the philosophy of a woman, right? I'm making it for me, who having a headache, I beat myself on the head with a hammer. So I can't feel the ache. And God, I just remember when I first came in and I read that 10 years ago, I was like, oh my God, like that is what I do. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, I am insane. And here too, right? It's not just the first drink on Armistice Day. It's the insidious insanity. I looked up insidious and I love these synonyms, right? Tricky, sly, deceptive, cunning, right? That cunning, baffling, and powerful. And that's, you know, that's what this disease is. Like I, you know, self-will, self-knowledge, fear, right? That's going to keep me abstinent. But it doesn't matter. My disease, it'll just come up with some amazing excuse to drink. And really, really, if I look back in Bill's story, he drank a lot because of fear. Right, he was trying to prove to the world he was important. I was trying to prove to the world that I was lovable. So most of the time, I was really scared that you thought I wasn't. You know, that's what I drank over. And for him, you know, he just always had this anxiety and this fear that, you know, he was going to get found out. And so, yeah, fear, it doesn't work. And, you know, I've heard horror stories and I've been through things, like I remember being so dizzy, right, you know, just binging on sugar or, you know, just really thinking like I'd ripped like my intestines apart because I'd just eaten so much so fast. Right. And that sobered me, right. That got me absent for a bit, but it doesn't work. And at the end of this paragraph, we see for the first time, right, in Bill's story, we see a little bit of hope. He's like, there, little one. Like, don't worry, it's going to get better. Because it's just been this adventure. Like, oh, my God, like, this went on for 2 more years, you know. But now he's finally, you know, telling us, like, don't worry, like, I'm almost there. And, you know, so we hear his experience, we hear his hope, and we're going to get his strength, which is his higher power. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Marissa E. Sherry KB, you're up. And then Mags will come in after you.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California, very rainy California. Grateful to Recovery Compulsive Overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Melanie, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. You know, what this is reminding me of is, you know, Bill's hitting a bottom, but the mental obsession is still there because, you know, for me, I didn't realize I had a twofold illness. And just because when I went on a diet or I was white-knuckling abstinent, you know, the mental obsession took a break for a little while, but then it came back in. And after that first bite, I was off, just like Bill was. And I didn't know that I had a twofold illness and that I could not, I could put down the food, yes, and I could get the allergy out of my body, but I could not get the mental obsession out. And the only way that was going to happen is that I do the work in this book and do the steps. And that's what he's talking about here is because, you know, I hit a bottom. I would try to pick up and do another diet with group support, whatever you want to say. And I kept trying, but I was white knuckling it. I was miserable. I never felt, you know, happy, joyous, and free. I never felt that way until I started doing the work. And then he said, I was to know happiness. And so what he's talking about here to me is that when he got catapulted, he did the step work is what he's going to do eventually. It says, I was to know. Because without working the steps and being in the steps and living the steps, that mental obsession is going to come back. And that's what I finally learned, is that I have a mental obsession, I have a twofold illness, and that if I don't continue to do this work, I'm going to always be face down in the food eventually, because the mental obsession will come in and I'll either get into it, you know, with the food, and then the allergy will kick in, the mental obsession will be there, the mental blank spot, the mental twist will take over and I'll be off to the races. But if I want to be catapulted, I need to do the step work. I need to put the food down. I need to ask God for help and I need to go through this work. And then becoming recovered helps me to stay useful and happy and other things in my life. Yeah, life's going to happen absolutely regardless whether I'm recovered or not. But the difference is that I know what to do with it now than I never knew what to do with it before. And I can even get through things that are really hard and still find happiness and peace and usefulness. And I could never do that before. I don't know about you guys, but I certainly couldn't do it. And without the steps and without my higher power, I can't. I would not be able to tell you all this if that has not happened to me before. And I'm just very grateful for it. And I'm grateful, you know, that I've learned that my self-knowledge avails me nothing. But if I do this work, I get catapulted into a fourth dimension of existence. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Mags C, you're up. Freya H, you'll come after Mags.
Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Mags C from Denver, Colorado. And I am so grateful today. You know, I've only been on Vision for a while, but I've been in program for about 15 years and all different kinds. And every time I go through the 12 steps and do that kind of footwork, that kind of self-searching, looking for insight, it's completely phenomenal. And I know that, you know, the Oxford groups kind of got it from the Jesuit priests who, you know, that's how they were able to cleanse their souls before they became priests. which is, you know, and to me, you know, being an agnostic and everything, I just find it interesting that no words could really tell the loneliness and despair I felt in the chaos that ruled my life. And despite the outside just being as perfect as I could possibly make it, and how dark it was in my soul. But doing the footwork over these past 15 years has allowed me to escape some serious loneliness. And I have this incredible team of people, you know, which, you know, this group is part of, that keeps me sane. And it keeps a peace and a calm to my life that I wouldn't have had otherwise. I have to tell myself a little that I became disabled last year. I had 5 surgeries, and then I'm a retired physician. And I loved my career, loved it. And so now that I'm getting a little better from the surgeries, I started to volunteer. And oh my God, the little kid inside of me just started to freak out, because she's like, well, you're going to start to eat again, and you're going to start to puke again, and you're going to start to restrict again, and you're going to torture, and because you're going to take care of other people above yourself again. And I was scared to death. I had this huge panic attack, and I reached out to my therapist, other OA members. And this story is not easy to hear, my story, and I know that, but it's a life that I think is not that unique, the one of the sexual abuse. And I think a lot of us don't nurture themselves. And I certainly do not nurture myself. I certainly would rather look at you and help you and not look at this. So, but that's the loneliness. That is that intense internal loneliness that I don't deserve to have anymore. And so this program is teaching me every year, every time I do the steps, how to care for myself, how to place my trust in a higher power. And and with that, happy to say that I have my volunteer badge and I'm not scared today. So thank you all so very much. Bye.
Thank you, Mag C. Freya H., you're up. Tiffany P. will follow you.
Good morning. This is Freya H. And pardon any background noise. I just walked out of the grocery store to because I wanted to share. And I love the word. I love the contrast of, you know, the brokenness and then the light at the end of the tunnel. And that this paragraph really expresses that truth, you know, that universal truth, that in order to grow or to really reach something significant, I often have to go through something that's really hard, you know, like that is kind of like pain is the price of admission, and that it is from the, you know, from the dirt that the flowers grow, you know, it's through the hard stuff that we get to the really, really good, meaningful stuff. And just that, you know, Bill was broken. He had to be broken. And I, as an addict, want to avoid any discomfort of any kind. And I really tried to work this program for a long time as like an immunity. Like, okay, this program means that I'm going to be immune from anything that is going to be uncomfortable in life. And I really tried that, and it didn't work so well. So that total surrender and total letting go, you know, which for me has been a process of like, oh, I have to let go of this and this and this, you know, just really recognizing it's everything that I get to let go of. And that's when I start to experience the promises, which are better than anything that I could have mapped out for myself, which is what I tried to do forever. So I'm so grateful. And the language is so beautiful and hopeful. And I need, you know, by the time I'm at this point in Bill's story, it's like, I need to hear that hope. Like I need that cliffhanger to keep me reading that, no, this isn't the end of the story, you know, but he doesn't mince words about that. Yeah, this is hard, and it's not over, you know, it's not over till it's over. So, anyway, thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Freya H. Tiffany P. you're up, and then Robin P. will be on deck. Hey, Tiffany.
Hi, thank you. Can I be heard?
Sure. We'll let you know if you can't.
Thank you. It's Tiffany P., recovered compulsive overeater in San Antonio, Texas. And that line, how dark it is before the dawn, I can so relate to that. You know, before coming back to program my second time around, I experienced probably the hardest 4 or 5 years that ever. And that those words, the bitter morass of self-pity. Self-pity was like the nightly blanket I wrapped myself up in. And there was some comfort there with my self-pity and the food and criticizing of the world around me. And, you know, that blanket eventually became suffocating. And just what separated me from, you know, the sunlight of the spirit, as the book says. And, you know, I think the words dark and sunlight, when talking about higher power, are not, you know, those words are not mistakes, because it is dark when we're in our disease and the food and the self, all the manifestations of self. At least that's how it was for me. I'll speak for myself. And, you know, when I came back to this program, that desperation was there for me. And, you know, I didn't know if these 12 steps were going to work. I didn't know if this program was going to work the second time around and getting serious about the steps in this big book, but I did know that what I was doing with my life wasn't working. I did know that coming back at 5'1" at 280 pounds wasn't the life I wanted to live. And so, you know, that darkness is what I'm grateful for it every day. I'm glad I don't live there anymore, but I'm grateful for the desperation that it gave me. And so when Bill talks about it being dark before the dawn, I feel like he's writing my story down here. And so I'm just so grateful to be on this line. It's my first time sharing this meeting, though I've been listening to Vision for well over a year. And I'm so glad I get to hear, you know, stories, other people sharing that I can relate to, and you know, that these 12 steps really do work. And it's a daily, you know, it's not something I get to put down. I have to work it on a daily basis, but I'm grateful for it, because today in the morning, you know, one of the first thoughts is, thank you, God, for waking me up. And I will tell you, when I was in my darkness, that was the last thing I was doing, was thanking God for waking me up. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany P. Robin P., you're up, and that might take us to the end. Hi, Robin.
Thanks so much, Mel. Thank you. I'm Robin P. I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And I love this paragraph, and I love Bill's story. And it you know what? It takes what it takes, you know. And sometimes you just think, oh, that's got to be the bottom. Oh, okay, well, then that's got to be the bottom. Okay, well, then that will be the bottom. And finally, you know, how dark it is before the dawn. I stepped from the hospital a broken man, you know, and then I was soon to be catapulted into what I'd like to call the fourth dimension. You know, it's such a blessing to live in faith and to live in recovery and to know that I don't have to go binge or starve or vomit over anything today, that I can actually keep growing spiritually the way that I was meant to do, and that, you know, that I get to have a relationship with a loving higher power. Through the third step, I get to turn my will and my life over to the care of God because of these steps. And to know happiness and peace and usefulness in a way of life that's incredibly more wonderful as time passes. You know, I get to work these principles and practice these principles in all of my affairs, including, you know, we just moved across the country, and we had been dealing with some mold and 5G radiation stuff, and my husband took a job here, and we moved into a beautiful home on this island in Vero Beach, and there's mold. And so we started working the steps on this, and, you know, I got to grow more spiritually and more in my faith in God instead of feeling like a victim or feeling I'm just powerless over things in my life, but God is powerful. And I feel like that Bill is such an example that we get to just keep growing spiritually and a faith that works. And I have hope today. And, you know, and we did a fourth step on this, and somebody came and said, you guys need to get out and move immediately. And it's just amazing. But God's in charge. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for these meetings. And that I have a solution today for everything. And God bless you guys in your recoveries. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. And that does take us to the end of the sharing part of this meeting. And we'll begin the process of closing out the recorded portion of this meeting. But stay tuned, because after that, we're going to have additional 10 minutes to greet some newcomers, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully you'll stay and join us for that. Thank you to everyone that shared today. The sharing was phenomenal. And those that were in service to A Vision for You, to make sure this meeting today was possible. It takes about 70 of us a week, and that's a huge commitment. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, and then follow that with a Serenity Prayer. Hey, Robin P., stay close. Would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God, oh my goodness, this light is, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep